Well, we have a good number present again this evening. A lot of visitors. We're so happy to see you here. And I want to take just a moment of our time this evening thanking you for the hospitality that you've extended unto me this week. Those of you who have invited me into your homes for meals or have taken me out to restaurants, I want to thank you so much for the kindnesses that you have extended unto me. And when it comes to hospitality, I especially want to thank Heath and Christy and Isaac. I can truthfully say, though, that staying with them this week, I thought it was just going to make me sick. And, of course, I guess they would say that it did make them sick. But I'm really sorry that they didn't feel very well there for a couple or 3 days. And but other than that, they've made me feel very comfortable this week and have enjoyed so much being with them, and hope that we can stay in touch maybe better than we have in the past and count them as dear friends. I'm really impressed by what I see here at this congregation. When I think about the leadership that you have, the talented deacons that you have, the preacher that you have is very talented. And I'm also very impressed by what I've seen this week and how you have responded to Sister Cheryl and what it is that she's going through. You obviously have the utmost respect and love for her and for her family. And last night, one of the elders got up here and led a special prayer on her behalf. And I understand that you're going to make it a practice to not only have special prayers for her, but also for others of this congregation who are going through difficult times. And also I've noticed how Cheryl's family have been coming, participating in this gospel meeting. And I mentioned to Carrie Wednesday night, I said, you know, that really inspires me, the fact that you are here under the circumstances. And I know that the family, they're here because this is just where they want to be. And I want to go back to Haleyville, and I'm going to tell them about all that because I think other congregations need to hear it. If you're ever in Haleyville, Oklahoma, and I don't know why in the world you ever would be, but if you're ever anywhere close, then please look us up. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, Peter said, and notice here how he speaks of the Christians being preached. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then dropping on down to verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In verse 9, in addressing Christians just like you and me, he referred to them as a royal priesthood. And then in addressing them in verse 5, he called them a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I'm going to talk to you for just a little while tonight about offering sacrifices to God. Now, somebody might say, well, now that's just an Old Testament study. Now, we don't have sacrifices today that pertain to the New Covenant. That's just an Old Testament study. Well, now it's true that offering sacrifices, that's an Old Testament study. Those Old Testament priests would take the animals, the sacrifices, and offer them up before God. It is true it's an Old Testament study. It's just not true that it's not a New Testament study. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 4, notice, the Hebrew writer said, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins." All of those sacrifices offered under the old covenant could not adequately provide for the sins of men. But then in verses 11 and 12 of Hebrews 10, the writer said, "And every priest," now that would be those Old Testament priests, "and every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man," now that is Jesus Christ, "but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." We have one supreme sacrifice that was offered by our high priest about 2,000 years ago. Then somebody might say, "Well, then that's the end of it." No, that's the beginning of it. Now, as priest, we are to continue to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God. The text, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 9, those verses say that we're all a priest. Every Christian is a priest, expected to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God. And thus, the clergy-laity system, which exists in the denominational world, that just does not exist in the teachings of the Scriptures. And this idea that the prayer of a preacher at the bedside of a sick person rises a little higher, or that when a preacher baptizes someone, that's a little more saving. Folks, that's all hogwash. We're all priests expected to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God, and it is denominational digression that's made it otherwise. Now, the text says we are priests, every one of us. Then I want us to think for just a little while tonight about the kinds of sacrifices that we're expected to offer up before God. And we're going to start with the fact that we are to offer unto God the sacrifice of praise. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, and by the way, I want to mention while we're talking here about offering to God the sacrifice of praise, that included in your talent pool here at this congregation, talented song leaders, and just everybody, every man who came up here, going all the way back to Sunday morning and then all the way through to tonight, talent. And you're blessed with talented men to lead the singing. And it's obvious the congregation likes to sing praises unto God. But now, in Hebrews chapter 13, beginning with verse 12 and going through verse 15, "Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." He said that as priests, we are to offer unto God the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips. Well, have we been doing it this evening during the song service? You know, somebody might say, "Well, my lips moved," but I didn't ask if your lips moved. I said, have you been offering unto God the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of your lips? You know, a while ago during the song service, while I was sitting right over there in that pew, I could have been thinking about my occupation so that I just forgot to offer unto God the sacrifice of praise. And my occupation being a gospel preacher. I could have been sitting over there in that pew a while ago thinking about how I would begin the sermon or how I might conclude the sermon and just forgot to offer unto God the sacrifice of praise. If you were ever tempted to think about your occupation or about anything other than the message of the song. During the song service, you need to remember that you have a God in heaven who is expecting you to offer unto Him the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of your lips. But notice something else about this verse, Hebrews 13, verse 15. He said, therefore by Him let us continually, notice that, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. He said, let us offer unto God the sacrifice of praise continually. We ought to have hearts that are filled with gratitude and praise to God every day that we live on His earth, and not just on Sundays and Wednesdays when we come to this building. It shouldn't be a matter of, well, we come to the church building, and when we come to the church building, we just flip on the switch, and then we start thinking about God and how great He is, and offering unto Him the sacrifice of praise. But the rest of the week, we've just been thinking about how we're going to make more money. Now, we need to be focused on God every day. Somebody says, you know, I need help focusing during the congregational worship. I need help focusing my mind during the Lord's Supper. Focusing during the singing of these good songs. What can I do that might help me to focus? I tell you, one of the things that's going to help us to focus, and that is to make sure that we're focused on God every day that we live on His earth. Begin each day by talking to God in prayer. End each day by talking to God in prayer. Be focused on God every day that you live, and be found continually offering unto God the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of your lips. That's what we do as priests. And then another kind of sacrifice that we're to offer unto God, the sacrifice of our possessions. As we read now in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 through 18, Paul said, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full. Having received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Now, Epaphroditus was their messenger, through whom the Philippian brethren sent material aid to the Apostle Paul while he was in Rome, a preacher of the gospel while he was in Rome. And the funds that they sent, the material aid that they sent Paul, this preacher of the gospel, was a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. You know, when it comes to the giving of our money on the first day of the week for the preaching of the gospel and for other authorized works of the church, you know, that is more than just a material transaction. When you go to the grocery store and you get the shopping cart and you push it around, you throw the items inside that grocery cart, and then you go to the cashier and you hand the cashier your money. Now, that is a material transaction. But when you put your money in the collection plate on the first day of the week, that's not just a material transaction. That really is an offering unto the Lord. Sometimes we call it that, don't we? The offering. It is an offering unto the Lord. Now, thinking of it that way, it may be that the brand and the quality of the offering, it might improve. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7, 2 Corinthians 8 verse 7, Paul said, But as you abound in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. Now he said, you abound in all of these things. You abound in faith, speech, knowledge, diligence, love. But see that you abound in this grace also. What's he talking about? In the context, he's talking about giving. Abound in this grace also. What does abound mean? Well, it means to overflow. It means to excel in it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, he's talking about giving. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now we need to recognize the difference then between giving to God grudgingly or of necessity and giving unto him cheerfully. But we also, as we look at verse 6, need to recognize the difference between giving sparingly and giving bountifully in keeping with our level of income. Let's just suppose that we lived under the old covenant. And all of those sacrifices, those Old Testament animal sacrifices were being offered to God. We lived back then. And we had this animal, it's weak and sickly, it's blind, and we say, you know, I doubt that I'll get a whole lot of good out of this. Here, God, you can have it. Well, I tell you, we'd be lucky to get out of there without being burned with fire and brimstone. When we put money in the collection plate on the Lord's Day, it really is an offering unto the Lord. And we need to make sure that it is, again, to borrow the wording of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18, where we began this point, Philippians 4:18, it is a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. But then here's another category of sacrifices that we're to offer unto God. We are, as priests, to offer unto him the sacrifice of service unto others. Hebrews 13:16. Now, a while ago, we read Hebrews 13:15 to make the point that we're to offer unto God the sacrifice of praise. But then in the next verse now, Hebrews 13:16. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. He said, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Well, what kind of sacrifices? Doing good and sharing. Do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Did you know that that dish of food that you send over to someone who is sick, that that really was a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord? Did you know that that house that you cleaned and dusted for someone who is incapacitated, couldn't do it for himself, did you know that that really was a sacrifice that was well-pleasing unto God? And you know, that's praiseworthy even in the eyes of men many times. Many times, men on the earth see that kind of service that we might render to others. They even appreciate it. But more importantly, God sees it, and God accepts it. There's something happened. I mean, this really happened down in Florida a long time ago. There was this woman who was a member of the church, and she went into a grocery store, and in the grocery store, she looked across the way, and there was this woman, a young lady. She was crippled, and she had her little girl, real pretty little girl, beside her. And the woman who was a member of the church, she just decided that she would walk over to that woman and strike up a conversation with her. And they talked for about 5 or 10 minutes, and then the woman who's a member of the church, she said, "Is it hard for you to do your little girl's hair?" Because she was crippled. Her hands were kind of drawn up like this, and so she asked, "Is it hard for you to do your little girl's hair?" And she ducked her head and she said, "Yes, it is." And the woman who was a member of the church, she said, Now I know you don't know me. I mean, we just met. But would you mind if I just went over to your house one day a week so that I could do your little girl's hair?" And her eyes lit up and she said, "You know, I would love for you to do that." And then the woman who was a member of the church, she pulled out a card a little bit later, and she said, "This card, I want you to have this card. It tells where I worship. And it tells the times we meet for Bible study and worship. Love for you to come. I think you'd find the congregation to be warm and welcoming, and we'd just love for you to come and be with us." And it wasn't very long after that woman showed up at the services and brought her little girl with her. And then some home Bible studies were set up with that woman. And in just a few weeks, that woman became convinced and she became a Christian. Now, that was a long time ago. Now that little girl, she's grown up. She's a Christian. And it all started with a sacrifice of service unto others. A Christian saying, "Can I do your little girl's hair?" And you know, we never know what a sacrifice of service unto others, what it might lead to. But what we do know is this: God sees it. And God accepts it. And when we do good and we share, then that's a sacrifice that is well-pleasing unto God. That's what Hebrews 13:16 says. And then there's this. As priests, we offer the sacrifice of ourselves. In the book of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Romans 12, beginning with verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies," some translations say, "yourselves, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Paul said, you are to present your bodies, yourselves, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You know, I think we know that we are to be sacrificial offerings unto God. But sometimes we want to wriggle off the altar. The Apostle Paul, as we turn to the book of Philippians chapter 2. And before we read these verses in Philippians chapter 2, I want to remind you of the context. Paul is in prison in Rome. And he does not know for sure what the outcome will be. It may be that he will continue to live on in the flesh, or it may be that he will be executed by the Roman government because of his faith in Christ. He has, when he writes this letter, a certain level of confidence that he will continue to live, and he expresses that. But he just doesn't know for sure. And it is in that context that Paul says in Philippians 1, verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, in Philippians 2, with all that in mind, Philippians 2, verses 16 through 18. Paul said, "Holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being He said, if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. What's Paul saying there? He's saying, brethren, if I must die, being poured out on the altar of your faith and service, having been executed by the Roman government, then I rejoice because of that. And brethren, I want you to rejoice with me. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote 2 Timothy, he knew, it's obvious as we read in chapter 4, he knew that he was coming to the end of the way. And so it says, Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 and 7, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And when Paul said in verse 6, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, he's clearly speaking of the sacrifice of himself. Imagine a Christian asking, well, how little can I do for the Lord and still get by? The minimum service attitude as opposed to the maximum service attitude. Lord, how little can I do for you and still get by? Just how little can I pray and still get by? How little can I read and study your word and still get by? How little can I attend congregational worship and still get by? Folks, as Christians, we should want to do all that we can and the very best that we can. After all, we're priests. And as priests, we're expected to offer ourselves, our bodies, as a living sacrifice unto God. And then, finally, there's this. We must offer unto God the sacrifice of others. Now, you might look at that and say, well, I'm glad you got to that part and got off that point about the sacrifice of ourselves. I'd rather sacrifice others. But what do you mean by that? Artemus Ward, a humorous author, when writing about the war between the states from the standpoint of the North, he said, we must continue to wage this war. And then he went on to say, you know, I've already given up an uncle, a couple of cousins, several distant relatives. And he said, and I want you to know that I stand ready, if necessary, to send my brother-in-law that he might die in this conflict as well. Well, that puts a different twist on offering the sacrifice of others. We're not talking about anything like that. But we are talking about what the Apostle Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 15 and verse 16, and I have it up here on the screen, where Paul said, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Now you see that in that verse, I have two words highlighted, ministering and offering. There are some translations that say that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable. The offering up of the Gentiles. But now I highlighted those two words because I want you to think about them in the context of the sermon that you're hearing tonight. We have, first of all, the word ministering as it occurs in the verse, and there's the Greek word translated ministering. In Theron, his Greek English lexicon defines that Greek word to minister in the manner of a priest, minister in the priestly service of the preaching of the gospel. Romans 15:16. Arnton Gingrich defines the word as to serve the gospel as a priest. Now the word offering, there's your Greek word translated offering. Thayer says, that which is offered, a gift, a present, And then he says, in Romans 15:16, the sacrifice which I offer in turning the Gentiles to God. Now, here are my comments. It was as if Paul was a priest in the officiating at a sacrifice when he taught others the truth. Through the teaching of the truth, he turned the hearts of the Gentiles to God and thus made them, the Gentiles, an acceptable offering to God. Now, you can do the same kind of thing as a Christian, as a priest. You can take the scriptures and you can teach the word of God to another person. And when that person responds to your teaching of the scriptures in a positive way and obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is as though you have turned the heart of that person to God. You're an instrument, that is, you're the teacher, teaching the gospel. You're offering up that person unto God. I want you to think about the investment of our time and energy in the souls of others, in teaching them the truth, in offering them up to God when they respond in obedience to the gospel that we taught them. You know, I hear all the time about men and women in various local congregations who are looking to create open doors of opportunity to teach the gospel unto others. You know, the church in the first century grew dramatically, and there are different reasons for that. But among those reasons, they offered the sacrifice of themselves, but also they wanted to offer the sacrifice of others. The book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 4 says that those who were scattered because of the persecution in Jerusalem, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word of the Lord. You know, when we extend the invitation of Jesus Christ, it is not just to provide an opportunity to be saved. We are making the appeal to people to be saved from their sins. But also, it is an invitation to people to, first of all, give themselves to the Lord. You know, the Macedonians did that. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. And what he's doing here is, he's trying to stir them up so that they will complete the collection for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. He gave them a command in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning with verse 1, to give on the first day of the week, that this might provide for the needs of those needy saints in Jerusalem. And they started this collection, but then they become negligent, didn't complete it. So now in his second epistle, he's trying to stir them up so that they will complete this collection for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. He uses as an example to stir them up the Macedonian churches. And he says, beginning in verse 3, for I bear them witness, 2 Corinthians 8:3, I bear them witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. Paul said, you know, the reason the Macedonians are doing so well in this matter of giving is because they first of all gave themselves to the Lord. You know, if we were determined to do that, then the rest of what I've talked about tonight, that'll just naturally follow. You make up your mind, you're going to give yourself to the Lord. Offer the sacrifice of self, well, then you're going to offer the sacrifice of praise Nobody can keep you from it. You're going to offer the sacrifice of your possessions. You're going to offer the sacrifice of service unto others. And you're going to offer the sacrifice of others because you're going to want them to know the truth so that they might be offered up unto God. And it is for sure that if tonight you would make that decision to give yourself to the Lord, and you're going to repent of your sins, you'll turn away from the practice of sin. You'll want to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, the Son of God. And you'll want to render obedience unto the Lord. If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus said in John 14:15. And we've given ourselves over to Him. We want to keep His commandments. Jesus taught in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. We wish that you would become a Christian tonight. And if you'll do that, you'll be a priest. In the denominational world, every now and then you find that they're voting as to, you know, who they might allow to be priest. Every man, every woman, young person and old person, is a priest according to the Scriptures. You can be a priest tonight. Be a Christian. If you're subject to the invitation, come while we stand and sing.